Good evening. My name is Richard. This is Over and Over and Over Again. This is Friday evening. It is, of course, the Arsenal Women's Show. We are going to look back on that brilliant victory last week over Manchester City. We're going to look at where it leaves the title race. We're going to discuss some contracts that are coming up for renewal, players that might be leaving or maybe going to be staying a bit longer. We will have a look at that. Of course, it's the FA Cup final weekend as well. We're going to have a look at that as well. Loads and loads of stuff to get through. So come and join us the other side of this. Now, you may have noticed there's some people missing tonight, and we're going to find out exactly where one of them is.
Hello and good evening, everybody. Another show in which I can't be with you. I'm so sorry. This week I was staying in Cologne for the German Cup final, Bayern Munich versus Wolfsburg on Thursday, and then I'll take the late flight from Cologne to London this time, so I'm in the air when you record the show.
So Andreas can't wear us due to the fact that he is, as he said, he's flying over because, of course, he is going to Wembley this weekend for the Women's FA Cup final. He was anticipating that, you know, Arsenal might be there. But unfortunately, of course, as we know, we got knocked out. And, of course, the Cup final is Manchester United against Tottenham. And we will look at that a little bit later on as well, who we think will win and all that kind of stuff. Andreas has got some thoughts on that. Of course, he's there, so he's bound to have, isn't he? But there's only really one place we can start this evening, isn't there? Going back to last Sunday, what an incredible game that turned out to be, didn't it? Real late drama, and what a result. Now, of course, it's our favourite part of the show, really, when we can actually talk about Steena and how brilliant she is. And it's fully deserved, isn't it? Because what an impact she made, not only in this game, which was incredible, but in this season, when you think of how little game she started compared to last season. And, you know, she's always ready when she comes on. She's looking to, you know, make an instant impact. And so many times she's come off the bench this season and she's got the goals at important moments, and it's incredible when you think about it. You know, she gets a lot of I wouldn't say so much unfair criticism, but she almost goes under the radar a little bit when people talk about the top strikers in the WSL, the top strikers in the English league, and no one seems to mention Steena. You know, you get Bunny Shaw's mentioned, of course Sam Kerr's mentioned, you know, Rachel Daly won the Golden Boot last season, you know, they're all mentioned, and of course Leslie Russo gets mentioned as well. But you know, Steena Blackstenius now, two seasons in a row, she scored 18 goals. Two seasons in a row. That's a really, really consistent goal-scoring record, isn't it? And when you think this season, the amount of time she spent on the bench, it makes it even more incredible, doesn't it? And, you know, you've got to think of, you know, in the last two seasons, she's played in two Continental Cup semi-finals, two Continental Cup finals. She's played in a Champions League semi-final, which has actually spread across six games and across all that. And she's actually scored eight goals in those games. And she's a big game player. And she scores big goals at big moments. And she did it again, didn't she, on Sunday. I mean, it was a strange game in many ways, wasn't it? You know, we started not great. The first half, I thought, was quite even. They got the goal, of course, poor defending, as we know. Emily Fox struggled a little bit, didn't she, against Lauren Hemp at times. But Man City got the goal, and we had one or two big moments, didn't we? Frieda nearly scored with a shot, and, you know, Beth had a chance as well. There was one or two moments, wasn't there? But you have to say that second half performance against a Man City team that could win the league. We'll talk about that well in a minute. But, you know, they've been one of the most consistent teams. I think they won 14 games in a row before Sunday, you know. And to play that second half the way that we did, we just took the game to them right from the start. Kim Little came on, of course, and made a difference. I'll talk about that in a minute as well. But just the way we took the game to them, you know, the chances that we had. And you could see, couldn't you, with 5-10 minutes to go, you could feel that a goal was coming for Arsenal. I thought, you know, we'll get a draw, and a draw would have been a good result in the circumstances, wouldn't it, being 1-0 down. And obviously we got the goal late on, you know, and I think Stina showed exactly what she's about, you know, with that first goal. Her instinct in that six-yard box, you know, it wasn't an easy chance. She had to react really quickly. The ball came across from Caitlin's header, and she just stuck out a leg and put it in the top corner. And that's the instinct of a natural goal scorer, isn't it? And, of course, the second goal, brilliant movement from her. She pointed where she wanted the ball. Of course, Kim can put the ball where you want it, and she did. And it was a beautiful header, wasn't it? Left the keeper rooted to the spot. And two goals in 2 minutes. And we've done that a lot this season, haven't we? We've scored goals one after the other quite a lot of times this season, haven't we? You know, it's come late. The Aston Villa game, if you remember, at the Emirates, we scored twice in stoppage time to win that one. We did it again here. We've done it a few times this season, haven't we, where we've got quick goals. Leicester away, we got some quick goals. And it seems to have been a feature, doesn't it, of this season, actually. And, yeah, what an incredible win it was. But we need to have a listen to what Andreas has got to say, because he's actually got some interesting stats from the game, because he loves his stats, doesn't he? And so do we. So let's see what Andreas' stats he's got for us.
So, let's look back on the match away at Man City. And, let's start with a few statistics again. I hope it's interesting for you. And this is my contribution to the show when I'm not there live. The statistics say we had 54% ball possession. Maybe it doesn't look like that, but especially in the second half, we were the better team, and 54% ball possession. Shots overall is nearly equal, 60 for City, 15 for us. Shots on goal, 4 for them, 4 for us. But the passes, City had 430 passes, we had 505, and our passing accuracy was 86%. Once again, we had 8 corners, City only 3. We had 26 crosses, City only 13. I think most of this comes from the second half, our second half. Well, it's been so long since we won at the Academy Stadium, or Joy something Stadium, as it's called now. I think it took us 7 years to grab a win there. And the sad and for this season disappointing thing is that we managed to win there when it has nearly no effect on our season anymore. We took 6 points against City, 4 against United, 3 against Chelsea, 9 out of 12 against City and Chelsea, but they are still ahead of us in the table. This shows there was something wrong. And what was wrong was we lost the league against mid-table or low-table teams. We know all about this. And this really hurts. But it also shows the potential that is in this squad. It's massive. And there must be changes for next season to make more out of all these positive statistics for us. Well, so far, the City match statistics. I'll be back soon.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? The possession, I suppose, was quite equal, wasn't it? 54% to 46 in our favour. And yes, I do think a lot of that was the second half, because it seemed as though there were spells in that second half where City just couldn't get the ball. We just kept getting it, put it in the box. Like there were 26 crosses, as Andreas mentioned there. We just kept on going, didn't we? We just kept plugging away. And eventually, late on, of course, it paid off, didn't it? But, you know, to have had that many more passes than they did, and 86% passing accuracy with over 500 passes, you know, that was a good performance from Arsenal. And it's interesting, isn't it, what Andreas mentioned there about the, you know, 9 points out of 12 against City. We got 4 points out of 6 against Man United. Yes, Man United haven't been quite the same team this season, but it hasn't been those big games where the problems have been, has it? It's not been the games against the big teams. We've been really good in those games. We beat Chelsea twice this season when you take in the cup final. We beat Man City twice this season as well. You know, we beat Man United this season and drew with them. So that's all great. And that's all good enough. You look at those stats and you think that those results there in those games should be good enough to win you the league, shouldn't they? They should be. And as Andreas rightly says, where it's gone wrong this season is against the smaller teams, if you like, the teams that normally we would beat. And that's made it frustrating, isn't it? Because, you know, the West Ham game, 1-0 up, we were in control of that game, and we threw that away, didn't we? The Tottenham game, we had 25 chances and lost 1-0. You know, these were the games, the Liverpool game. I mean, we'll maybe excuse the Liverpool game, but certainly though, the West Ham game and the Tottenham game, they're the two games, aren't they? Those 6 points there that we should have got, look where that would put us now. You know, we would be going into the last game of the season at top of the table, wouldn't we? So, you know, it's small margins and we're not far away. And I know it's been a frustrating season. I know we all wanted more, and maybe we all expected a bit more this season than what we're actually going to end up with. But I don't think we're far away, are we? You can see the signs are there. And, you know, if we can just get that little bit of extra consistency next season, find a way not to drop the stupid points that we've dropped this season, then we're going to be fine, aren't we? You know, it's all there. It just all needs to come together, doesn't it? It's like we've had, you know, I say we've had some brilliant performances this season against the big teams. We've had some brilliant performances against some of the other teams as well. But we've also had some really, really disappointing results. And, yeah, if we can find a way to put that right next season, then we're going to be there or thereabouts, aren't we? It's going to be a great season, isn't it? So I think that when we look back on the season, which we will do, of course, after the Brighton game, I think we all need to be positive about the future, even though this season didn't go as planned. No, it didn't. You know, we all wanted more. We all expected more. And it didn't quite work out. But we are really, really close, aren't we? And I think we saw that on Sunday for me. You know, a lot of people, you know, I saw a lot of things on social media. Arsenal thought, oh, I hope we lose to Man City, so it means Chelsea can't win the league and all this and the other. No, I wanted to see us put in a performance to show that we are able to compete with the top teams and next season is going to be better. And that's exactly what we got. And, you know, for once, Jonas has been criticised for his substitutions, but he got it spot on, didn't he? He made them at the right time, Kim Little at half-time, and then he brought Steiner on early enough for her to really be able to make an impact and get into the game. And I think that was important. He kept Leslie Russo on as well so they could play together again. I think that was a good decision as well. And the other substitutions as well worked, didn't they? And it was a perfect perfect tactical performance from Jonas. And we've got, you know, I think some people have in particular been quite quick to criticise Jonas when he's got things wrong. But when he gets things right, as he did on Sunday, in a big game, I think that he deserves the praise as well. And I thought it was a really good management performance from Jonas as well as the girls on the pitch. And I think that those two things together produced that great result. And it is a great result. Everybody look at it, you know, yes, it is going to help Chelsea out, as we're going to talk about. But I was delighted with the way we played, the response that we showed to going behind. You know, as Andrea said, there's 7 years there, we haven't won. And it's been a tough ground for us, hasn't it? It's been a tough ground for us. We've had some really disappointing results here in recent years. And to be 1-0 down and to put all that aside and think, well, no, that's the past. We're going to go out there in the second half and we're going to turn this game around. And, you know, it was looking like a draw would have been the best we could have hoped for with 5 minutes to go. But actually, we deserve to win that game. You know, I know Gareth Taylor didn't think so, did he, with his after-match comments, but ignore him. We definitely deserved to win that game in the second half. There was only one team ever looked like it was going to win that, and it was us. And we got what you don't always get what you deserve in sport. You don't always get what you deserve in football. And we certainly haven't this season in many games, as we've already mentioned. You know, we've deserved a lot more points than we've got. And sometimes that doesn't happen, but it did on Sunday, and we definitely deserved that win. I don't have any doubt about that. The stats kind of back it up to a certain degree. Yes, it was a close game. Of course it was. But yeah, I thought for the second half, the performance, the way we took the game to them, we deserved to win. And it was, and to me, that was a great, great win. And I was so pleased with the response that they showed in that game. It was brilliant. And I say, well done, Jonas, as well, because Jonas is the one that's that masterminded that. Terry's with us, of course, as always. He says, just hit that like button nice early. Yeah, get your likes in. Terry says, come on, Stina, indeed. Terry said, have a safe flight, Andreas. You will be missed. Of course he's missed, but he's here, isn't he, on his video. So it's like he's here, really, isn't he? But we do miss him when he's not here. Of course we do. Terry says, Lauren James Havertz is better than Stina. I don't think she is. Terry says, both goals were class from a top-notch player, but not forgetting the class from our Kimi. Yeah, I mean, that cross was incredible, wasn't it? It was put exactly where it needed to be. It was a perfect cross. And I thought Stina's movement as well. If you watch the video that they showed from behind the goal, her movement was brilliant there. Got in between the defenders and put that header in. Brilliant stuff. Terry says, as Andreas swallowed a Google chip, we might well have done. That's some good stats there. Terry says, big up the Zins as well. Pulled off a couple of big saves. Yeah, that save in the second half when it was 1-0. She saved her leg, didn't she? I think it was from Mary Fowler, wasn't it? That was an important save there, because you do think that 2-0 down, we wouldn't have got anything out of that game. Absolutely not. So, yeah, that was a big save. And she's made a few recently, actually. She's had her critics this season, Manu Zinsberger. And I think maybe rightly so. But she's been brilliant in the last 5-6 games, hasn't she? The cup final, she was brilliant. And, yeah, she made a really, really big save at a big time in that game. And that obviously gave us the platform then to go on and win the game. 1-0 down, you've always got a chance, haven't you? Terry says, to be fair, it's down to City to stuff Villa in the final. Exactly, yeah. We're not there to do anybody favours, are we? Our job is to go out there and do the best that we can do for ourselves. And that means winning every, well, trying to win every single game. And, you know, we can't expect favours from anybody else, and we're not going to give favours to anybody either. You know, we did the job we had to do. And I don't really care if it helps Chelsea out. That's not, the league isn't decided on one game or two games. It's decided, in this league's decided over 22 games. The best team over 22 games will win the league. It makes no difference if that one game hasn't decided anything. And we certainly haven't done Chelsea a favour. We've done ourselves a favour with that performance and that result. That's where I look at it. Terry says, I think we all expected the girls to achieve big things this season. Yeah, absolutely. But to be fair, it's a new team, but I do think they need to smash it now they have got to know each other. Yeah, I've said this before. Next season now, there's no excuses, is there? We've got the team in place. The way they've had a season together. Yes, we might lose one or two players. Contracts are up. But we've got the platform now, I think, with this group of players to go on and, you know, start winning these bigger trophies. You know, the Continental Cup's great and it was a great day out and whatever. But, yeah, I think our time's coming. It's definitely coming and we're getting there, aren't we? Anyway, Andreas has given us some great stats. Of course he has. But also he's going to give us some thoughts on the match as well. Of course he is.
You know, the match overall. The first half, I think it was City's half, to be honest. Yeah, they got the lead with Doran Hemp. And yeah, I think it was a deserved 1-0 lead for them at halftime. But what we often criticize, this time Jonas made earlier changes. Bringing on Kim at halftime changed the balance of the whole match. We got the match under control. First the midfield and then the whole match. And after the 60th minute, he brought on Stina, Steph and Caitlin. And we all know what effect this had. Yeah, as I said, we gained control over the midfield thanks to Kim. She's undroppable. And if you want to show what her worth for the team is, then you have to let her out, and then you see, no, it's not possible right now. City was only trying to manage the match, to manage the result, and I think they forgot to score a second goal, and this got back on them. Few words about our players. I think Emily had a bad day in the office. Her first not so good performance since she has signed in January. Laia, Cody, she's developing and growing more and more, and she builds new partnerships now with Leah. I think her partnership with Lotta is already very good. So Cody is a player we can rely on next season. Of course, we all missed Lotta and her performance. I hope that she will be back for the last match of the season. She would really deserve this, and yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, Leia Cadena has been absolutely brilliant, hasn't she, in recent games that she's played. I mean, she came on in a cup final, difficult circumstances at half-time when it's 0-0, and she was brilliant there. And I thought her performance against Manchester City was really, really good. I thought defensively she was great. She's really good, comfortable on the ball. And it kind of complicated. I'm not sure if she started a game with Leah Williamson, actually. I'm not sure if she has before. So that was almost like a new partnership, obviously, with Lotta's injury. And I just thought that they really complemented each other well in this particular game. And it's that bodes well as well, doesn't it? Because, you know, you need to build relationships in, especially in key areas of the team, such as the two central defenders. And I thought that, you know, Leia Cadena has been really, really good. Now she's settled in. You know, she took her time, didn't she? She wasn't getting many minutes at the beginning of the season. She had a couple of little injuries as well, which didn't help. But the longer the season's gone on, the better she's got. And, yeah, she looks a hell of a player, doesn't she? Some of her tackling, the way she reads the game, her passing's great. And I thought, yeah, her and Leah, and that was Leah's best game as well, I thought, for a while, since probably maybe her best game since she's come back from injury, actually. I thought she was really good, Leah Williamson. And, you know, she's not been at her best. I don't think there's any doubt about that. She's had one or two niggly injuries as well, which hasn't helped. But I thought, you know, she looked really, really good in that game. I thought that was her best 90-minute performance for us since, well, this season, since she come back. So that was good to see. And, yeah, Leah Cadena has been brilliant. And, Lotta, of course, we missed Lotta, haven't we, the last few games. And she has been nominated for the Player of the Season, the WSL Player of the Season. It just goes to show, doesn't it, what a great season she's had, what an impact she's made. You know, we could have had two or three more players nominated for that particular award. I think Vicky Palova, Stina, Leslie Russo. There's been, you know, we've got a few strong candidates, really, haven't we? But Lotta fully deserves every credit and every award that she might get, every nomination that she gets, because she's had a brilliant, brilliant season, Lotta. And yeah, I agree with Andreas. I hope she's back for the game against Brighton. It'd be nice for her to play the last game, wouldn't it, for the season that she's had. But, you know, if not, it's not a problem, is it? You know, she's got all summer to get herself fit and ready and be stronger next season, because I do think there's going to be some competition there next season, isn't there, in their centre-back positions. Now with Leah Cadena, I think we might buy someone there as well, losing Amanda. We don't know what's going to happen with Amanda, do we? When she's had her baby, how quickly is she going to come back? Will she want to come back? We don't know, do we? So I do think we need to look at a new player is a central defender next season as well. So there's going to be competition there. Lotta's going to have to step up again, isn't she? And do the same again that she did in this season just gone. But yeah, Lotta's had a great season. But yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say, I don't want to call it a negative, really, because we don't really know, do we? But I thought in that first half, Frieda, the first game that she started since the cup final, and I don't know, I don't think she was right. I don't. Whether it was mentally for her, I don't know. But she didn't look right this year. There was one time when the game stopped and she was down and, you know, I was thinking, no, not again. But it didn't seem to be, was it an injury? I don't know. Because she didn't come back out for the second half, did she? And I thought that the longer that first half went on, she looked to be struggling a little bit in that game. So that was a little bit of a worry for me. Have they rushed her back too quickly from what happened in the cup final? I'm worried that they might have done. I know that they check them medically and all this kind of stuff, and that's all the best it can be. But I'm not sure if she didn't look as though she was ready to play that game. I'll say whether it was a physical issue or whether it was maybe in her head, I don't know. But I had a feeling we wasn't going to see her in the second half, and, you know, the decision was made, and of course Kim came on and she was brilliant, wasn't she? I mean, every time the game's on the BBC, Kim Little gets player of the match usually, and I thought she was going to get it again for a second half performance, but of course they gave it to Stina, which was great because, you know, Stina deserved it. Of course she did. But yeah, I was just a little bit concerned about Frieda, actually. I was, you know, she didn't look right in that first half. After about 10 or 15 minutes, after that time, I thought she was struggling. And I thought it was the right decision to take her off. Absolutely. Terry says, I think we all expect. Oh, we said that one. Yeah, no, absolutely. The journeyman's with us. How are you doing? Good to see you. I hope you're doing well. Terry says, I see Jonas was at the Sweden versus England under 17s. I hope he was there taking a look at England's number 9, Fisher. She reminds me of Steve. Yeah, I'm sure he would have been looking at a few players there, hopefully, as well. But it's just good. I mean, obviously, he's Swedish. They're playing England. He lives in England. So I guess there's a lot of interest there as well. But I'm sure he'd have been looking at a few players, more likely some of the Sweden players as well. But yeah, no, it was good to see him there. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, brilliant, brilliant substitutions from Jonas on Sunday. They worked perfectly, and they were made at the right time as well. You know, it's annoyed me sometimes when you bring Steen on with 10 minutes to play when we're losing. Give her 15, 20, 25 minutes. You know, you've got to get, as a substitute, especially when you're a striker, I think you need time to get into the game. You can't expect to come on and have an impact straight away. And as we saw, didn't we, Steena came on. She missed a chance, didn't she? She fired one over the bar. And then that was her kind of getting into it, I think. And then when the chances came at the end, she was ready. As she came on after 80 minutes, she wouldn't have had the opportunity to miss that earlier chance. And then when those other two chances were there, she may not have been able to take one of them or either of them. So I thought the substitution was important that it came at that time. It gave her time to get in the game. And of course, it paid off, didn't it, with those two brilliant, brilliant goals right at the end, which was fantastic, wasn't it? Cordelia says there, Steiner and Viv better sign a new contract. If not, I'll do it myself. He said, well, we'll talk about it in a minute, actually, when we finish on this game, because that is quite interesting, isn't it? Anyway, Andreas, I've got a few more thoughts on the Manchester City game before we finish here.
I think Kyra had a very good first half. I read that her passing accuracy was more than 90%. Yeah, of course, Steiner. Yeah, she did what a number nine has to do. She scored. And yeah, it was two really great moves from her to get the first goal and then the second goal. Yeah, what can I say? What a cross from Kim. Just fantastic, outstanding. If you value the header from Steiner, fantastic. Yes, she scored the goal. She got all the accolades for this. But what a cross from Kim. And yeah, in the end, scoring two goals in the dying minutes of the match, I think it was a shock for City, for their title hopes. So everything is open again. For us, as I said, it doesn't change a lot for the result of the season. We are still in third place, and Chelsea would have to lose both games at Spurs and against United, that we have a chance on the second place. But nevertheless, let's finish the season on a high, and let's win against Brighton on the last day. So I think with a win against City, we have made a statement for next season, and I was very happy to see this. Yeah, about the Brighton match, I think we'll have a show next Friday, and then we will talk about the last match of the season. So no more words about this.
Absolutely, yeah, we will. We'll have a show next Friday. Of course, we'll be looking ahead to the final game of the season, the final weekend of the season, where lots is still going to be decided, isn't it? But yeah, I agree. I think third place is where we're going to finish. I think we all maybe dreamed, we had a little dream that we're at the end when Steiner got the second goal that maybe we could sneak second place, but it would have took Chelsea to have dropped some points. And of course, they went out Sunday night, didn't they, and scored eight against Bristol City, which probably wasn't really a surprise, was it, if we're totally honest? But yeah, that was soon ended our chances, really. Yes, they'd have to lose their last two games. Seems unlikely. When there's a title up for grabs, Chelsea don't often sort of fall away, do they? The Liverpool result the other week was a shock, wasn't it, really? But, you know, having thrown away three of their four potential trophies in the last few weeks, I'd be absolutely amazed if they don't win those last two games and maybe nick the title from City. But, you know, I think it's been good this season in a way that Chelsea haven't had it all their own way, because they seem to have had it their own way for too long now, don't they? And yes, I think that Emma's decision to announce she was leaving so early, in the same way that it has in the Premier League with Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, I do think that's had an impact on when it's mattered in the season a little bit, you know, and Liverpool blown a lot of their stuff towards the end, and it looks like Chelsea have as well. So I'm not sure that announcing the manager's leaving so early is a good thing, really, overall. But anyway, you know, it's good that Chelsea haven't had it all their own way this season. We beat them in a cup final 2 years in a row. They've had their struggles in the league that they may not win it. They may not win it still. So, yeah, it's the end of an era, isn't it, for Chelsea? Absolutely. And what we need to do now is we need to be in a position, don't we, next season to take advantage of what is going to be a transition season for Chelsea. It is. You know, we've seen this season, haven't we, even with Emma still there, they've had problems, and they've not been the same Chelsea that we've maybe seen over the last 4, 5, 6 years. So they're going to have to go through this process now, aren't they? You know, new manager, new players will come in, some of the players will leave, and there's going to be some big changes there, isn't there? So, you know, we've got an opportunity to be a settled team. Man City have shown this season, haven't they, when you've got a settled team, you've got a settled group of players, you can achieve a good things. And yes, they haven't won anything yet, but they're very close, aren't they? So it just goes to show that I think we've got that big advantage next season over Chelsea now, for definite, and we need to make sure we take advantage of it, don't we? But yeah, the last week of the season now is going to be quite interesting, isn't it? And we're going to see how the title race plays out. Of course, we was in a tight title race with Chelsea a couple of years ago, wasn't we, on the last day of the season, you know, at half-time on the last day we were champions, wasn't we, briefly? And in the end, of course, Chelsea came back and won it, and that's kind of what they do. You kind of expect that to happen, don't we? But let's see. let's see. It's going to be an exciting finish to the season, isn't it? Both in the Premier League and in the WSL. It's just a shame we're not going to be involved in that title race on the last day this season, isn't it? Imagine that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? To have the men's team playing against Everton at the Emirates, looking for a win that could win the league potentially, and the women could have done the same on the last day, but it was not meant to be. But yeah, it is going to be interesting to see who wins it. My head tells me Chelsea probably will. I would like, obviously, to see, I prefer Man City to win it. I think we all would, wouldn't we? Let's be honest, given a choice. And Emma ends the season with nothing would be quite amusing. But at the overall scheme of things, I'm not overly bothered by it, really. We're not involved, and that's, while it's still mathematically possible, I would like to see Chelsea lose both their games and we sneak into second place. Seems unlikely that's going to happen, though, doesn't it? But yeah, overall, it's been a good season, hasn't it? And I think that's what we need to take from it. Greg says, unfortunately, the players we have now, I don't think Frieda is good enough for our team. Yeah, we've got better players now in that position than she is. I mean, I thought last season, when she came in to play that number 10 role, which was the Lyon game in the Champions League, and she took the place of Vivi, who was struggling a bit at that time with various things, and she was brilliant, wasn't she? And I thought she had a great season last year. She got player of the season and she was fantastic. And for whatever reason, this season it hasn't quite gone her way in the same way as I think Lessie coming in and stuff like that. I'm not sure what the reason is, but she's not had a great season. Can she bounce back from it and be better next season? I think she's a great squad player to have anyway, because she can score a goal. We've seen, the last two or three seasons, she's got a lot of goals. And I think she's an important player to have in the squad. Is she good enough to start every week, which is what you're saying? No, I'd say no at the moment, no. At this moment in time, obviously, with Viv not quite there, I think Lessie in that number 10 position is a much better bet than Frieda, unfortunately for Frieda. And I love Frieda, we all do. And we're just grateful that she's able to play football again. But I think Lessie was the better option there with Steiner ahead of her. For me, that's what works better with the players that we've got. Obviously, Viv being fit next season is going to throw that open, isn't it? If Viv's still there, we're going to talk about it in a minute. Greg says, the goal scorers always get the accolade, but without a great performance behind her, that's what made it. No, absolutely. They do. And that's why, not so much in the women's game, but certainly in football in general, the goal scorers cost the most money, don't they? They get the biggest contracts. And the reason for that is because they're the ones who get the goals when they matter, win you the games. But yeah, you're right. We wouldn't have won that game. Steiner wouldn't have been able to score those two goals and win us that game if it wasn't for the performance of the team. And it was a great team performance, wasn't it? That second half in particular. And yes, that's what you need. And sometimes you can get away with it. If you've got a great goal scorer, you can get away with not playing particularly well as a team and still getting away with results. Chelsea have done it with Sam Kerr's goals, haven't they, for years now. They sometimes would play terrible and then Sam Kerr pops up with a goal and wins them a game from nothing. And sometimes you can get that. Well, it's much better, isn't it, when it's a great team performance and your centre forward gets you the goals that wins it. That's just the icing on the cake, isn't it? So yeah, you need a bit of both, but you're absolutely right. It was a brilliant, brilliant team performance. That's what won us that game. And it just goes to show, doesn't it? If we can do that away from home against Man City, and yes, Man City were a bit nervy. They were 1-0 up. They didn't get the second goal. And as Andreas mentioned, and then as you're going into the last 10 or 15 minutes, the nerves really started to click in for Man City, didn't they? And we took advantage of that, but that's what we've got to do. So yeah, I was really, really over the moon with that performance, with the result as well. And yeah, it's looking good for next season. That's all we could do. As soon as when we lost that game against Chelsea, really in the league, I think we all deep down knew we wasn't going to win the league at that point, as disappointing as it was. I think we'd accepted it. And all we wanted to do was finish the season well and, get as many points as we can, positive performances to take it the next season. We've won the cup and, we've won away at Man City and we've played a couple of good games at the Emirates as well. So, yeah, let's finish the season well next week and look ahead to what could be a really, really momentous season next season. But who's going to be here next season? I mean, I think that's – obviously, we're going to talk about this a lot more once we get to that point, when the contracts are up and when signings are made and players come in and go. But obviously the two big contracts that we know about are Steiner and, of course, Viv. Now, there seems to be talk of Viv not signing a new contract with us. That seems to be the big rumor at the moment that we're hearing. Nothing concrete. We've got nothing to base it on other than a few rumors that's been going around. Barcelona have been in the running to sign her, and one thing or another. I don't know what's happening, but what I do know is this season Viv has been not herself. Now, yes, the injury, of course, you know, we know that. She admitted herself, didn't she? Her head wasn't right, certainly before Christmas when she first came back. And then she had a good spell, didn't she? A few good games, scored that great goal against Liverpool. And we thought, she's back. Viv's coming back, and we're going to see her the best of Viv again. But it never worked out like that, did it? Some more little injuries, and now she's had an injury that's kept her out. And now it seems as though she's sort of fit. She's in the squad, not really playing much, is she? And even when she played, she came on, was it the Leicester game, I think it was, and she was a bit off the pace. Not unsurprisingly, is it? So I'm not sure. You know, I said earlier on this season when she got that latest injury that, you know, was she going to retire maybe? Because she's always needed a break from football. You know, she's been playing at the top level since she's been, 17, 18? You know, a long, long time. And is it just getting too much for her? And with the injuries now that she's getting, maybe her mind's thinking, do I want to carry on? But I don't know. Obviously, I think Beth's a big influence as well. Of course she is. You know, Beth will want to play forever, won't she? You know, how she enjoys the game. And you can see that they're quite different characters, aren't they? You know, I never really get the impression, and I know that's her personality, but you never really feel that Viv enjoys football. She's extremely good at it, and I think she enjoys it to a certain degree, but she doesn't, you know, she doesn't always seem to play with a smile on her face. She always seems to be, I don't know, very serious. And I don't know. I've never been convinced that she enjoys football in the way that you see other players. I mean, look at Beth, for example. Beth absolutely loves playing football. You can see every minute she's on the pitch, she's, she just loves it. You can just tell. And they're very different characters. And I'm not saying that Viv doesn't like football. Obviously, she does. But you see what I mean by just her personality and her persona on the pitch is totally different to Beth's, isn't it? So I don't know. I was kind of thinking that maybe, you know, she's got interests away from football. You know, she enjoys her time away, doesn't she? She needs a break from football pretty much every season. She's been at Arsenal. She's needed a break away for one reason or another. And is this the time maybe with the injuries to think, you know what, do I want to carry on doing this to myself week after week after week, day after day? I don't know. I'm not convinced that she's 100% committed to it anymore. I don't know. Her performances this season hasn't made me change my mind about that, because she doesn't look the same. And yes, she's had a long-term injury and a serious injury and all this kind of stuff, and we know the impact that can make, and it can take a long time, but I don't know. I'm not convinced her heart's in it maybe as much as it was. And with her contract up, is this going to be will this be the time for her to say, you know what, maybe now's the time to either move on from Arsenal, go somewhere else, whether it's Barcelona, whether it's somewhere else, or is it the time for her to say, you know what, I'm going to do other things with my life now? And, you know, it'd be a real shame, wouldn't it? But whatever happens, and whether Viv signs a contract or not, I'm not convinced we're ever going to see the Viv that we saw 3 or 4 years ago that was scoring 30, 40 goals a season. I'm not sure we'll ever see that Viv again, because I don't think she's going to get back to that level again, mainly because of the injury, of course, but also I just think mentally, has she got it in her to push herself to that level again? I'm not convinced she has from what I've seen this season. And maybe it's just because she's had those little niggly injuries and it's held her back. And maybe next season with a full pre-season, we might see the old Viv again, maybe. But I don't know. I'm not, at this moment in time, I'm not convinced about that. And in a way, it would be a shame, wouldn't it, if she stayed for another season or two seasons and her performances dropped and she was never able to get back to what she was. It would almost be like, I don't know, sometimes you think, would any of us really want that? Would any of us really want a 90% Viv when we know what 100% Viv is? I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because obviously we want her to stay. Of course we do. And we'd love to see her get back to anywhere near her best again. But I don't know. I think that's the big one for me. And I'm not convinced that Viv will be here next season. I think the only thing that the pulling thing would be Beth, wouldn't it? That's why I'm not sure. The Barcelona thing makes sense in some ways, but it doesn't in other ways, because I can't see Viv moving to Spain and Beth staying in England, I can't see that being what's going to happen. I don't think that will be the case. I think if Viv will either stay at Arsenal or potentially retire. I can't see her going abroad personally. That's just my personal feeling because of her life circumstances. But we'll see. We'll see, won't we? I don't know. Greg says, I hope the contracts are sorted out before the last league game. I don't think they will be, if I'm honest. Certainly listening to Jonas, doesn't seem as though they're going to be. Not all of them. One of them might, but I'm not sure. But yeah, it'll be not. I mean, obviously, we want to get them sorted as soon as possible because, one, it means that we can build for next season straight away. We know what we're doing. We've got players signed on to contracts and we know they're not going anywhere. And I think that's important. But ultimately, we can't rush these things, can we? If Viv needs a bit of time, then that's what we'll have to give her. And that's what she deserves anyway. So, but I think the Stina one is slightly different, isn't it? I think the Stina contract is, I think that's going to be more whether or not she feels she's going to get the game time, the minutes next season. I don't think she really wants to do it. At her age now, where she is, what, she's 20, 28, I think, Stina. She's not going to necessarily want another season of spending 50% of it on the bench, or more than 50% of it on the bench has been the case this season. I don't think she'll want to do that. I think she's going to want to have more guarantees of more game time. I know you can't, you should never give any player a guarantee of starts. You should never say to any player, yeah, well, you're going to start every game. No, players have got to earn that right. They've got to deserve that opportunity in the team, and they've got to, you know, when they're in the team, they've got to prove they should be there. But I'm not sure if, I think the Stina one is, I think the club want to keep her. Of course they do. There's no doubt about that. And I think we're going to offer her a good contract. But is she going to want to, you know, she did leave Marseille. Was it Marseille? She left a few years ago because she wasn't getting, she didn't feel she was getting enough game time there. She was on the bench a bit and she left. That kind of worries me a little bit. She does seem, I know she's quite a reserved character, isn't she? A bit like Viv. She doesn't always seem like she's smiling and enjoying herself on the pitch. She's very intense. But I think she's happy at Arsenal, and I think that if she gets one or two guarantees, say, about a role in the team next season, I think she will sign, and it'd be great if she does, because I don't think there's no other team, I don't think, in Europe. I don't know all the squads in the whole of Europe, of course I don't, but there can't be any teams in Europe that have got a player as good as Stina as their technically number two striker, which is what she's been most of the season. You know, she wouldn't. No other club has got a player that good. So if she's going to go, we're not going to be able to replace her with anyone anywhere near as good as her. And then we're not going to have that backup, are we? And she shouldn't be a backup. She should be starting more games. But you see what I mean? Like, she's been the backup striker this season. We're not going to get anyone better than her. We're not going to get anyone anywhere near as good as her for that role. So I think it's massively important that we keep her. And maybe Jonas, you know, obviously they know each other from Sweden and whatever. So hopefully their relationship's good, and hopefully Jonas can convince her to stay, sign a new contract and stay for the next year or 2 years, because I think she's been brilliant since she joined. I mean, I've always been a fan of Stina since the World Cup, was it 2019 World Cup, when I thought she had a great World Cup, didn't she, for Sweden. And I always kind of hoped Arsenal might sign her even back then. And when we did sign her, I remember saying on this channel that I think she's going to be a golden boot winner for Arsenal. It hasn't quite worked out like that for one reason or another, but she's got a lot of goals. 36 goals in the last two seasons is decent, isn't it, at any level? So, and I still think that if she was to start every game, I think she can win a golden boot. You know, there's not many strikers better than her playing in the WSL. If you take Bunny Shaw out of the equation, obviously Sam Kerr, they're the only two that I would look at and say, they're the only two you could say I think are better goal scorers than Stina is. She's in the top three in the WSL, and she's only a backup, if you like. And as much as I love Lessie, we all love Lessie Russo, Lessie Russo isn't going to score the same number of goals that Stina does. It's proved this season, hasn't it? She started most of her games as the number nine, Lessie, and she scored, 14 goals in all competitions, and Stina's got 18, mainly from the bench. So she's never going to score the same amount of goals, but it's massively important, actually, that we get Stina signed on, because I say if we lose her, we're not going to replace her, are we? It's impossible to replace a player like in a squad. We'd have to end up trying to find another striker because we'd need one. We'd need one, wouldn't we? Because Michelle Abimang, as great as she's probably going to be, she's not ready next season to step up and do the Steiner role, is she? Absolutely not. I'm sorry, you know. And obviously Vivienne Leah as well. Not ready yet. Not ready yet at all. So it would cause us a big problem. At the moment, the way the squad is, you look at it and you think, yes, we can really go on next season now and push on and win big trophies. If Steiner goes, it's going to be so much more difficult to do that. Because as I've already said tonight, and I've said it loads of times, if you watch this show enough, you'll know how much I think Steiner's brilliant. She scores big goals in big games. And that sort of player is impossible to replace. You cannot replace a player that does that because those players are tied up with other clubs and they're not going to come to us, are they, unfortunately? It's going to be very difficult. So, yeah, really, really hope that that we can convince her to sign. Sahara says, yeah, Beth is definitely more animated. Yeah, she is, yeah. And I say, I don't want to say that Viv doesn't enjoy playing football. She just got that personality where she doesn't look as though she enjoys it, whereas Beth clearly, you know, Beth looks like, you know, when we was all at school, we used to play football, there'd be one or two people that would just play all night until it got dark, never stop and be back out first thing in the morning. That's Beth, isn't it? You know, that is Beth. Whereas Viv is just like, well, I'll play my game and I'll be brilliant. And then I want to go home and do something else. I don't want to think about football. That's the difference in the personalities, isn't it? And, you know, maybe that's why they complement each other so well. But we'll see what happens with both of them. It is going to be interesting, isn't it? That it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But I think those two contracts in particular, they're not the only two that's up. I think there's one or two others, isn't there, that are still to be decided. But they're the two main ones, aren't they? And it'd be great if they both sign. Of course, it would keep this group of players together and add one or two new signings in the summer. We're ready to go. If we lose one of those two or both of them, we're going to have to replace them. We're going to have to replace them. And that's going to be tough, isn't it? Terry says, fingers crossed, I can't see Viv playing for anyone else if she don't sign, get her on the backrooms. Yeah, that's an option as well, isn't it? You know, yeah, she could be the striking coach. I know we've got Kelly Swift does that, but she could help, couldn't she? Terry says, Beth and their new dog. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so I think, was it Beth's birthday today or yesterday? I think it was Beth's birthday, isn't it? Might well have been today, actually. It's Dennis Bergkamp's birthday today as well, actually. So two Arsenal legends having birthdays on the same days, isn't it? Greg says, I saw an interview in Swedish and Stina says she hasn't decided and that she's got options next season. Oh, that's not good news, is it? I mean, of course she's going to have options. She's a fantastic player. He scores a lot of goals. So of course she's going to have options. I haven't seen that interview, actually. I'll have to watch that then. Where is that on YouTube, is it, Greg? I'll have to watch out for that then. There's not many interviews of Steiner, actually, is there? She keeps herself to herself a little bit. She's not one of those ones that get in the spotlight, is she? You know, they interviewed her after the game on Sunday, of course, and, you know, she gave some good interviews, but you don't really hear a lot from her, do you? So I'll have to look out for an interview, but that doesn't sound good. But then players say that, don't they? You know, they tend to, you know, it's happened before, isn't it, when a contract's up, players say, yeah, well, I've got options, and they end up staying and signing. So let's see. Let's hope. Jonas, you've got some work to do, mate. You've got some work to do on Steiner, I think. And if she does decide to leave, I think we would all understand why, because you can't have a player who scores 18 goals and is on the bench for most of the season. I mean, she's played 29 games this season. I think she only started 14, 15. So, like, yeah, it's pretty much half. Pretty much half. Greg says, a big worry is Kim's age and how long will she carry on? Yeah, obviously, you know, Kim's not getting any younger, is she? And we saw on Sunday what a massive influence on this team she is. But having said that, you know, we've got Vicky Pullover, we've got Kyra now, we've got younger players who can do that role in the team. Yes, they haven't got the experience that Kim's got. They haven't got the quality that Kim's got yet. No, but they've got the potential. And I think that we've got the future in that position looks good for me. And yes, we see how important Kim is. But yeah, I'm not overly concerned. If Kim was to call it a day at the end of next season, for example, then I think with another year's experience, I think Vicky and Kyra are ready to step up. I really do. So I wouldn't overly be, it obviously should be a massive loss. Of course she would. And we hope she plays forever, but that's not realistic, is it? She's going to retire at some point. And I think we're in a good position now for that transition because we've got these great young players in that position. So yeah, I'm not overly Yes, it's a worry, but I think we're in a good place there. Greg says, yes, on YouTube after the England. Oh, OK, I'll watch out for that. I'll have to go back and look for that then, because I'm very interested in that, obviously, of course, because, you know, Stina's an important player. I'd say she's probably my favourite player, actually, at Arsenal at this moment in time. So I'd be really, really upset if she left. So, Stina, if you're watching, please don't leave. Thank you. Now, of course, we mentioned before, didn't we, this weekend, there's no... Now, I find this a little bit strange, personally, that they've had a week break for the WSL to play the FA Cup final. Do we know why? So the FA Cup final, of course, Manchester United against Tottenham. And yes, do we know why they've done that? Is it because of the, obviously... Next weekend is the final weekend of the Premier League season. Is it because all those games are... No, because they could have the Women's Cup final on a Saturday, couldn't they? And all the Premier League games are on a Sunday. So I don't know if that's the reason. Does anybody know why they've done that and not made the FA Cup final the last game of the season? Because I just think that what it's done is it's created this vacuum this weekend for no real reason. You might as well just have played the final game this weekend and it's over and done with. And then... the cup final the week after, like it always used to be, didn't it? The cup final last game. So I don't know why that's happened. If anybody knows the actual reason, because I've been looking to try and find out why. I've not managed to come up with any reason that seems to be the proper reason as to why they've done that. The only thing I could think of was the Premier League final week next week. But I say that's all on Sunday. They could have played the FA Cup final on Saturday, couldn't they? So I don't really understand. Is there playoffs? Is that the reason? Maybe playoffs from the lower leagues? Is that Wembley? Is that the reason? I don't know. Honestly, I don't. If anyone knows, please let me know. But anyway, regardless of all that, it is the FA Cup final. And although we're not in it, and of course we're disappointed we're not in it, we haven't won the FA Cup since 2016. A long time, man. We need to get that trophy back, don't we? It is still a massive, massive occasion, isn't it? You know, the FA Cup final for both the men and the women is brilliant, isn't it? And it's at Wembley. I think it's a sellout virtually again at Wembley for a women's game. And of course, Andreas is there, as we said. It's a great occasion, isn't it? And it's not two teams that we expected to be in the final this year, Man United and Tottenham. Neither have ever won the FA Cup before. So there's going to be a new name on the trophy. Of course, Man United came close last year. They got to the final, of course, didn't they? Lost to Chelsea. And of course, Tottenham, it's a big moment for them, isn't it? Now, obviously, as Arsenal fans, we don't really want Tottenham to win, do we? No, of course we don't. But then it's Man United. Do we really want Man United to win? It's one of them games, isn't it? But anyway, I look on, in the women's team, I look on Chelsea as our rivals, not Tottenham so much, although geographically they still are. But I think Chelsea are more of our rivals, aren't they, in the women's game? So would I be that bothered if Tottenham won the FA Cup this weekend? Probably not. Given a choice, I think we'd all pick Man U, probably, wouldn't we? Terry says, benefits Chelsea, probably. Well, I don't say it does benefit Chelsea. Well, one, because they're not in it anyway. So it's not, is it? But anyway, Terry says, Salty FC play Spurs on Wednesday, Man U on Sunday. Yeah, no, they do. Obviously, their last two games are the two teams in the cup final. I mean, that's just the way the fixtures have worked out. That's just unfortunate or fortunate, whatever you want to look at it. But why they couldn't have played it this week, they couldn't have played it next week and had the WSL finale this week, I don't know. But anyway, it is what it is, I guess. And I say, as we did say, of course, Andreas is there, isn't he? So it would not be right if he didn't give us at least some brief thoughts on the cup final.
On the weekend, there is the FA Cup final, Spurs versus Man United. I'll be at Wembley. And it's a pity that our girls are not at Wembley once again. But I think a cup final in a sold-out Wembley is always worth being there. And as an Arsenal fan, I can't support Spurs. So as hard as it is, I hope that United will win. Of course, it would be better both teams lose, but that's not possible in a cup final. Okay, let's see. Let's have a good match. And for you all, enjoy the show. Have a great show. See you next Friday. Bye-bye.
Oh, there you go, Andreas. What an absolute legend he is. Oh, have I frozen there? What's happened? That's not good, is it? Oh, we seem to have a few problems. If you can still hear me, Oh, that's not good, is it? I hope you managed to see Andreas's video anyway. I'll tell you what I'll do. No, I can't leave, can I? Because if I leave, it'll cut the stream off, won't it? This is not good, is it? What has happened here? What has happened here? Anyway, I'm assuming you can still hear me. Let me know if you can still hear me or not. Anyway, we'll see. Sarah says, is it because of Euro scheduling training camps, maybe, or maybe nothing to do with that? Sarah, so you can hear. Oh, good. As long as you can hear me. I don't know. Are they coming up? Are they coming up soon? Are they? I mean, obviously, there's Euro games soon. We're going to the Lionesses game at St James's Park against France, and that's at the end of May. So I wouldn't have thought the training camps would have been. I don't know. Surely it'd be better to get the WSL season finished earlier, wouldn't it? And then you can have the training camps after that, because there's only two teams in the cup final. Everybody's playing in the last week of the WSL, aren't they? So, anyway, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I don't know why they've changed it. But anyway, it is what it is. And Andreas is. Andreas, I've got to be honest. I wouldn't personally go if it was me. Even if I had tickets, I'd have sold them on. I wouldn't have been able to bring myself to be at a cup final that Arsenal aren't in. That's just me. So fair play to Andreas. He loves his women's football. So, you know, well done to Andreas. I'm sure he'll enjoy it. It'll be a great occasion. Of course it is. It's the FA Cup final. It's one of the biggest events of the year, isn't it? So, you know, fair play to Andreas for actually going. But yeah, I don't think I could have done that. So, you know, hats off to you, mate. And enjoy the day. It's going to be good. Who do we want to win then? Let's put your comments in. Who you want to win, Man United or Spurs? I can probably guess where most of you are going to go with. It is quite a tough one, isn't it? As Andrea said, it'd be nice if they could both lose, couldn't it? That would be the ideal scenario, but obviously that's not going to happen, is it? Someone's going to win. It's going to be a new name on the cup, and I think that's quite exciting, isn't it? To get a new name on the FA Cup will be good. I'm going to see if I can fix this camera situation out here, because I'm not really sure what's going on. Hang on. We might be getting somewhere. Let me just check. Oh, there we go. We're back. Oh, there we go. I'm working. Look at that. That was pretty, wasn't it? It's got Man United. Yeah, I kind of think most people are probably going to go Man United, really. Let's be honest. It's what it is, isn't it, I suppose. But yeah, obviously, we'll watch it. It's the FA Cup final. Of course, we will. Sahara says, yeah, especially if Mary Earps chooses not to renew. Yeah, see, that's another interesting one, isn't it? Mary Earps, obviously, I think a goalkeeper. We are going to sign a goalkeeper this summer. Mary Earps has been the one that's been spoken about enough. I still would go with Daphne van Domselaar, Aston Villa, the Dutch goalkeeper. Personally, that would be my choice, but I don't make the decisions. Jesus Christ. Come on. Well, that's better, isn't it? What's going on with this? It happened before, didn't it? Where for some reason it just keeps going off. Anyway, Terry says, to be fair, Andreas is a legend. But it has to be Man U. Yeah, I guess that we're all going to say that, aren't we? Greg says, toss of a coin, the formula both. And yeah, I mean, it could go either way, actually, couldn't it? I mean, I think Man United maybe haven't had the experience of playing in a cup final before, maybe slightly have an advantage a little bit anyway over Tottenham, who've never been there before. But sometimes that whole new experience is what you raise your game, don't you? So we'll see. I personally think Man U will win. I do think they're a better team. They've got better players, and I do think they will win. But, you know, it's been incredible that Tottenham even got there. When you look at how the FA Cup has gone this season with the draw and all that kind of stuff, it's crazy that we've got a cup final, Man United against Tottenham. Neither of those two teams in the top three in the league. It's mad, isn't it? When was the last time that happened? It'll be a long time ago, won't it? So no, I'm sure it'll be a good game, and I'm sure Andreas will enjoy the experience. And you never know, he might do us a vlog as well, mightn't he? So we might be able to get that up as well for the FA Cup final. But he's right; it is a shame we're not there, because I say we haven't made it to an FA Cup final for a while now. I haven't won it for even longer, and obviously since the last time we were there, which was in the delayed one from 2020, when we lost to Chelsea, of course, 3-0, we were at that game and. I think it was about 40,000 at Wembley, which at the time was incredible. We were over the moon. It was like, wow, what a crowd this is, when we'd been previously and it had been a lot less than that. So, but what's happened now, the growth in the women's game since then, of course, has been incredible, hasn't it? So it is going to be really interesting to see. Arsenal need to be back at Wembley, don't we, for a sellout FA Cup final. That's what we deserve that, don't we? The crowds like that we're producing already. I think that, you know, we deserve that. And maybe next season's our season, isn't it? And I'll say, I've been saying this for a while, actually. So, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see. A long way to go before we have to think about next season. There's, I say, a transfer window to come. There's contracts. There's all sorts of stuff, isn't there? So let's hope and pray that it is going to be a good season next year. Terry says, to prove it, so I don't hate Spurs. I want Man U because Tooney is Russo's best mate. Well, Lotta's her best mate now. Tooney's her old best mate, isn't she? They don't even talk anymore, apparently. That's what Cliff Richard said. Anyway, Greg says, I've got a horrible feeling Spurs will win. Well, they might do, but knowing Spurs, they won't, will they? Because they never win anything, do they? Let's be honest. So, you know, it's not just a men's team thing with Tottenham, is it? I think it's a women's team thing as well. But we'll find out when it's their first cup final, isn't it? So if they were to win it, it would kind of show the men's Tottenham team that maybe Spurs are able to win something eventually. And it's taken the women to show them the way. That would be quite funny, actually, wouldn't it, in a way? Ironic rather than funny, maybe, that Tottenham women can win a trophy before the men do. And they've only had a team for about 5 years, whatever it is. So, yes, that would be quite amusing, wouldn't it? But, yes, obviously, we'd rather Man United win, I suppose. If we have to pick, we'll pick them. And, you know, obviously, Nikita Paris plays for Man U, and she's an ex-Arsenal player. And, yeah, Tooney, we quite like Tooney, don't we? So, we'll, you know, yeah, they've probably got players that we like more anyway, haven't they, Man U? So, let's go with them. But we'll see. Yeah, it'd be a great, it's a great occasion, isn't it? And it's just a shame they've put it on this particular weekend when it should be, this should be the final weekend of the WSL, shouldn't it? Now, as Andreas rightly said, we have got a show next Friday. We will be back, obviously, looking ahead to the Brighton game and the final weekend of the season as well. We'll talk about the title race and if there's any more contract news, which there might be, who knows? There might be some contract news coming, might in the next week. Someone might sign, as Greg said, before the final day. Maybe they will. There may be a new kit release, of course, as I'm sure we normally release our new home kit, don't we, before the final game of the season. So maybe there'll be a new kit as well, which we can look at and talk about. But we'll have to see. Terry says, I'm hoping Spurs still have the Harry Kane curse. Well, I don't think they do. It's been transferred to Bayern Munich, hasn't it, that curse? Because they are going to win nothing this season now, following the Champions League semi-final the other night. Maybe the women will take on the mantle, and who knows? But yeah, so I say we'll be back next Friday, looking ahead to that final weekend of the season. And then the Friday after, which will take us, what, towards the end of May, we will be having our end of season review, giving out our end of season awards. And that is going to be a great show, isn't it? So you definitely don't want to miss either of those two, our final two shows of this season. We're not going to completely go away through the summer. Of course, we're going to be any transfers that happen, any contracts that happen, we'll bring you the news of those as we go along. And there you go. Greg says, hopefully our last ever game at Boreham. Yeah, don't say hopefully though, Greg, because that makes it sound like we don't like Boreham Wood. I actually love Boreham Wood. I think it's been a fantastic home ground for us for such a long, long time. But hopefully in the sense that it means we can play every game at the Emirates. I don't think that's going to happen this season though. I think next season, I think we've had a bit of a transition this season, more games at the Emirates. I think next season there'll be even more. So we'll probably have 6 or 7 games at the Emirates next season, maybe more. And then maybe the season after, we might make that move permanent. It is going to happen. I think it's inevitable. But I don't think it will be our last ever game at Boreham Wood. I think we'll have a few more next season. But yeah, it's coming, isn't it? Unfortunately, it'll be a sad day. In a way, well, it'd be a sad day in one way. Obviously, it'd be a happy day another day because it means we're in a position where we can play at the main stadium, knowing that we're going to sell enough tickets to be able to do that on a regular basis. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? If, you know, if we could do that and regularly sell 40,000 or more for every game, well, incredible that would be, wouldn't it? And I don't think that's unrealistic now. A couple of years ago, I'd have said impossible. It's never going to happen. Now, it seems the only logical step forward, doesn't it? So, but no, I do think next season there'll be more games at Boreham Wood. So make the most of them. Make the most of them while we can, because I don't think it's going to be long until we will be saying goodbye to that nice little ground and moving on to the main stadium as a permanent home, which would be incredible. So, but we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, So don't forget, I say next Friday that we're going to be previewing the final weekend, and then I say the week after will be our end of season show. It's always the best show. Well, it's not always the best show, is it? They're all good, but that'll be a great show, won't it? So make sure you've got that in your diary. Don't forget as well, this weekend, of course, on Sunday, there is a slightly big game going on. Another one, Arsenal away in can Arsenal win away in Manchester 2 weeks in a row? The women did it last week. Can the men go across the city to Manchester United Old Trafford and win on Sunday? We have to win, quite honestly. There's no other option, is there? We have to win. So let's see. That game kicks off at half-four, so I'll be here at 4:15 for that one. I'm doing a 10K race on Sunday morning as well. So I'll be out there in the sunshine doing my 10K, coming back home, and then obviously watching a game with you guys in the afternoon. So it's a big weekend for me, isn't it? Terry says, bigger and better things coming. Absolutely, yeah. Bigger and better things are coming, 100%. On the pitch, off the pitch. And this Arsenal Women's Club are going to be... We are, in many ways, the trailblazers, aren't we? In women's football, we always have been, and even more so now. You know, we're the ones that's selling out the stadiums, we're the ones that's driving the game forward. All it needs is to complete that circle, if you like, is the team now to be winning these big trophies, winning league titles, winning FA Cups, Champions League. We need to get back to that again, and I think it's there, I think it's coming. And we've just got to be a little bit patient now and get ready, because next season could be really, really special. We're talking about next season, you know, on the channel as well. We're going to be trying to expand what we do here with the women's coverage, because, you know, we love it so much. We're going to try and get a few more people involved in this show. We're going to maybe rotate the panel next season a bit more, get special guests in and different people in every so often, people who want to come on. So if you're out there, you're watching and you think, yeah, you'd like to come on and have a chat about this great team, give your thoughts and your opinions, would be great. All will be welcome. If you do want to get involved next season, doesn't have to be every week. I say I'm going to try and do it next season, where we get maybe some different guests on every week. So if you want to come on once in a while, let me know. Come on and give us your thoughts, give us your opinions, and we'd love to have you on board with us. Send us a message on YouTube, put a comment in the show, whatever you want to do, and we can look at getting you on next season. If you want to come on every week, and you're happy to do that as well, we definitely want to be interested in that as well. So, you know, we're looking to, you know, just change things up a little bit, freshen things up. You know, this show's been going on for 4 years now, and it'd be nice to just, you know, keep the format as it is, but, you know, add some different things in as well, you know, to bring it forward and keep evolving. That's what we want to do. There we go. Greg says, get the girls on, starting with Stina. Well, of course, we'd love to get Stina on, absolutely. To be honest with you, the only thing I would say is I would love to get Stina on, all of them, of course, we would. And I would love to get Stina on. I'm not really sure I think, you know, I've met a lot of footballers in my time. I used to work in sports journalism, so I, you know, do post-match interviews with players and managers and stuff like that. So I've met some really famous footballers and spoken to them and interviewed them and all kinds of other stuff. But I don't know, I just think if Stina came on the show, I don't know if I'd be starstruck, I think, probably. I wouldn't be able to speak. But no, I would like to get her on. I'd like to get them all on. Absolutely brilliant, wouldn't it? And maybe that's that way. I don't know whether they'd be able to do it. I think there's agents and all kinds of other stuff you have to go through to get current players on. It's quite tricky. And, you know, quite often, if I'm not necessarily thinking it to say, I know with some of the men's players, you have to go through the agents and you have to pay a fee to the agent to get them to do anything. And that's not the player's fault. It's the agents that own the rights to them all. That's the problem. But I don't think it'd be the same with the women's players. But would they come on and do it? Would we be able to get them to do it? I don't know. That would be good, though, wouldn't it? Imagine getting the players on, a different player every week. That'd be good, wouldn't it? You know, start with Stina while she's still here. Terry says, get Stina on before the season ends so we can show her how much she's loved at this club and the fans. Yeah, I mean, I think she knows that now. I really do. You know, I've seen a big shift, actually. Last season, I think Stina got a lot of criticism. You know, people were saying, oh, she misses chances and this, that and the other. And I think towards the end of last season, she showed really what she's about in those big games and big goals, where she stepped up and really did the job. And this season, I think that's even more so. I think the fans really have turned and started supporting her now. Everybody does. And you won't hear anybody really say a bad word about Stina now. And that's great, isn't it? And I'm sure she knows how loved she is by the fans and everybody at the club. And let's just hope that will be a factor in a decision when it comes to the end of the season with a contract issue. Let's hope it is, because I say she's going to be very, very difficult to replace. Absolutely. It will be really, really bad. Terry says, Richard has dribbled down his chin, the Steena show, looking forward to it. Yeah, no, that'd be, that's probably what it'd be. I'd just be, I don't know what to say to her. But that would be great. And I'd love to do it, obviously. We'd love to get them all on. But I'm not sure how easy that would be to get them to do it. It'd be nice. But anyway, whatever happens, we are gonna do it. Yeah, we're gonna maybe shake things up a little bit next season, freshen things up on the show, do things a little bit differently. But obviously keeping a lot of the stuff that's that you guys enjoy and I enjoy as well, of course. But the main thing is, it is talking about this great team, isn't it? This great Arsenal women's team, the club, how much we enjoy watching this team and all that kind of stuff. So that's not going to change, is it? And it's what it's all about at the end of the day. I say, if you do want to get involved, drop us a line, let us know, and we can sort something out over the summer. We can work it all out. We can get you in, get you involved. And yeah, why not be a part of this great show? And you can meet Andreas as well, which, what more? I mean, what more of an incentive is there, really, to meet the gentle giant that's Andreas, the legend that is Andreas as well. So yeah, good stuff. So yeah, that's something to think about, isn't it, for next season over the summer. And yeah, but we'll be back bigger and stronger by then as well. But don't forget, of course, we've not finished this season yet, are we? We've got two more shows to do. Next week we'll be here with Andreas and Amar, and as Terry says, Richard must keep Andreas. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, we're not. No one's going anywhere. It's just, I'm trying to add a few new faces to it as well, so we can have maybe one different guest every week to join us, you know, and give different opinion. I know Andreas brought his friend in from Holland, the Chelsea fan, a couple of times. That was great. Stuff like that, you know, just doing some different things with it, you know, and just celebrating. Obviously, you know, this show is mainly about the Arsenal women's team. Of course it is, and that's what we're here for. But, you know, just celebrating women's football in general as well, you know, and getting fans from other clubs in as well. Brilliant. People from all over the world want to come on and talk about women's football. So yeah, that's stuff that we're going to try and work towards for next season if we can. But yeah, Terry says, hopefully get Matt back on. Yeah, I'd love to get Matt back on, actually. I know he's doing some stuff on another channel. I don't think the Friday evenings was suiting him anymore, just because of his new job and stuff like that. It made it difficult. And I know he appears on another channel. I can't think what it's called off the top of my head, but they covered the Arsenal. It was a great show, actually. He does appear on there, but they record that on, a Wednesday or a Thursday, which is more suitable for Matt. So, but, you know, hopefully we can get him back on at some point. I'm sure he'll make a guest appearance at some stage. I'm sure he will. We'll have to get him to sing a few songs as well again, won't we? Because that was always good fun, wasn't it? But yeah, there's going to be some, you know, some little changes next season. We're going to try to expand things a little bit for you. And obviously, we'll keep the vlogs going as well. I should be hopefully get to a few more games next season as well, so I can do a few more vlogs for you. Andreas obviously gets a few. He'll do some more vlogs as well. So it's going to be good. And we're going to try and hopefully keep pushing the women's team, keep pushing women's football, because that's what we want to do. It's what it's all about, isn't it? And it's been a great journey, isn't it, here on the channel over the last, four years now. It's been a big journey. We've come a long way. And it's great that you guys have got on board with it, and it's really helped to grow the channel as well. But it's about us trying to promote women's football in a positive way, the Arsenal women's team in a positive way, and just to try and, you know, get people to have a look at it, because, you know, obviously more and more people have done in the last couple of years. And hopefully more and more people can get involved. That's what we want to see. We want to see sell-out crowds everywhere. We want to see people getting just as excited about the women's game as they do about the men's game. And I just want people to feel the excitement watching women's football that I feel and that we feel here on the channel, where Andreas feels. And, you know, Andreas coming all the way over from Germany to watch Man U against Spurs. You know what I mean? That's incredible, isn't it? All that kind of stuff. So, yeah. He came over for the Euro and that, didn't he? Brilliant. Greg says, the biggest change next season is we'll be top of the league. Well, let's hope so. Yeah, that would be great as well, wouldn't it? That would be great as well. I mean, imagine if we're sitting here this time next year with one game to play and we've either already won the league or we just need one more win to win it. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Let's hope this time next year that's what we're doing. We're sitting here celebrating a great season of trophies galore. And yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? That would be a big change as well. That'd be great. And who knows? Unfortunately, we can't control that, though, can we? We can't. I can only try and control what happens on the channel. I can't control what happens on the pitch. We just have to go along with it, don't we? And enjoy the ride. That's what it's about, isn't it? It's up and down. It's good and bad. We've had a bit of that this season, haven't we? We've had a lot of that this season. We've had some real big highs this season. We've had some real bad lows as well. And yeah, hopefully next season the highs will be the overriding theme, and it'll be great, won't it? Terry says, I just can't believe you ain't in the 50 to 60k subscribers. So many missing out. Well, I do think it's difficult, isn't it? When you're a small channel, which we are, and we don't have like links to some of the bigger channels, do we? You know, I've basically started this from scratch, from nothing. And it takes time, doesn't it? And, you know, I'm happy with the growth of the channel, absolutely. I mean, yes, obviously, I'd love it to be 50 or 60,000. I could give up work and just do this full time. It'd be brilliant. What more could you want in life? But, you know, it has to happen in the right way, doesn't it? And I think we've picked up a real big following on the channel, you know, on the back of the coverage that we give to the women's team. And I think that's important. And it's, you know, I'm sure it will grow steadily. It's what it has done. It keeps growing. Yeah, obviously, sometimes I sit and think to myself, the time I put into this, I want it to grow quicker, of course. But you know, it's heading in the right direction. And the most important thing is that, first of all, you guys out there enjoy what we do here, and you enjoy the shows. I'm assuming you do, because you keep coming back. You know, the same guys in the chat every week, and, you know, people keep coming back and watching. That's important. That's probably the most important thing. And that, you know, we enjoy doing it here. You know, I enjoy doing the show, which I do. Obviously, Andreas absolutely loves it. You know, Emma as well. You know, they've been so important to this all. So, you know, and it's about, if you don't enjoy it, there's no point, is it? Let's be honest. And it doesn't matter how many subscribers you've got, how many people watch the shows. If you don't enjoy doing them, to me, there's no point, is it? Greg says, can't you ask for a lottery grant? Well, maybe I should try and ask for a lottery grant. Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Get a lottery grant, and then I could just retire and just do YouTube, and that'd be great, wouldn't it? Terry says, I remember when I joined, I think there was only 2 subscribers. Yeah, there probably was. I know you were one of our first ones, Terry. I remember there was you. There was, do you remember Shane? He still comes in occasionally. Shane is one of our original subscribers as well. And yeah, in the days when we first started, and I never envisioned it would go anywhere. I started it during lockdown when there was nothing else to do, really. You know, you couldn't go to games. There wasn't any football on for about 2 or 3 months, was it? So that was the reason why I started the channel. And I never thought anyone would subscribe. So to be in a position that I'm in now, I'm over the moon with it. You know, I'm so grateful to everyone that's got involved, you know, particularly people like yourself, Terry, that have been here from the start, you know, through it all, and watched the growth. And it's great, isn't it? I know. I'm hoping that we can keep going, keep growing, and more people will get involved and enjoy what we do. And that's the most important thing for me. You know, I get a lot of nice feedback from people, messages and stuff like that, how much people enjoy what we do. And that's the most, that's what keeps you going, isn't it? You know, that's the main thing. You know, you can get hundreds and thousands of subscribers. You can make loads of money from doing it, but one person sending you a message and saying, oh, I really love the show, or I really love what you're doing, that means more to me than anything else does. You know what I mean? And these are the important things, aren't they? So, but yeah, it's been great. Next season is going to be better on the pitch and off the pitch. We're going to have some more fun here, I'm sure. And hopefully Andreas won't miss as many shows next season, because he's missed more this season than he's missed in the previous 3 seasons put together, hasn't he? He's missed more shows this year. You know, he keeps flying on a Friday night. We're going to have to have a word, aren't we, with Lufthansa, whatever it is he flies with. We're going to say, look, come on, stop flights, make cheaper flights on a Saturday morning, so we can fly on a Saturday morning, so he can come on the show. That's what needs to happen. We can't keep losing Andreas like this, can we? But obviously, he does send us some great videos when he's not here, which is good, isn't it? Terry says, I think I get as much of a buzz as you must do when I see 100 plus watching and liking. Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, when the watch-alongs are on, and that's when we get the big views, a lot of the time I'm not even aware of how many people are watching, because I'm watching the game, I'm trying to keep up with the comments, and there's a lot going on. And it's only really occasionally, maybe if there's a breaking play and I can have a look at it, I think, bloody hell, we've got over, there was one game, there was over 300 people watching. I think it was the Leicester game a few weeks ago. I think it's because all the other coverage had gone down. So everyone said to come over here, there's about 300 or 400 watching at one point. I don't always get to appreciate that as much, because I'm not always aware of it. And sometimes you'll point it out to me in the chat, like, oh, we've got 100 likes, whatever it might be. And I think, oh, well, okay, brilliant. But I'm just too focused on what's going on, maybe. So I don't always notice it. And sometimes I'll just look up briefly and see, oh, we're on 50 people watching, and then something happened in the game, and I come back and watch it again, and there's like 150 watching. It's like, wow, where did they all come from? And it's amazing, really. But yeah, it is great. And I say the most important thing is that I'm enjoying doing it, I think, because if you don't enjoy it, I don't see what the point is. No matter how many people watch, you've got to enjoy doing it, haven't you? And I do the shows I enjoy doing now. I know what I like doing. I know what I enjoy, and they're the shows that I do. And I've maybe dropped one or two other shows from the channel over the last year, couple of years. And I've kept the ones that I enjoy doing, and that's how it's going to be, isn't it? So that's what we'll keep doing. Terry says it's well deserved. Well, I'm glad you think so, Ted. I just enjoy what we do. Greg says Friday nights for me is now a must. I wouldn't miss it. No, thank you very much. You see, Greg, you're another one. You said it's really, really supported what we do here, and it, you know, it's people like you and Terry and all those other people that keep coming back. You know, some weeks we get more people in the chat, some weeks we don't, but it doesn't matter. You know, you guys are the ones I see all the time, and you're the ones that keep it going and keep it being what it is. And that's what it's about, isn't it? The little community that we're building, and, you know, it's great. So, yeah, don't forget, I will be back on Sunday for the game, the Manchester United against Arsenal game from the Premier League. We do cover the men's team as well still, not as much as we maybe used to. I decided a while ago that I wanted to focus more of my attention on the women's team, actually, just because I enjoy that more. But we do still cover the men's team as well. I will be doing a watch along on Sunday at 4:15. So join me for that. I'm on Talk TV as well Sunday night at 7:30, talking about the Man United game as well. So if you're free then to come over and watch me on there, that'll be good as well. So lots going on. I say next Friday we will be back with, of course, the Arsenal Women's Show. We'll have Andreas back from London. We'll have Amar back as well. We'll be looking ahead to that final weekend of the season. And, of course, next weekend, next Saturday, is the final WSL game, Brighton. We'll be bringing you coverage of that game. And, of course, next week on Sunday, the final week of the Premier League season. Well, are we going to be going for that title when we play Everton? Let's hope so. Eh? That's going to be exciting, isn't it? So what a weekend next weekend's going to be. Hopefully the sun will be out and we can enjoy a brilliant, brilliant end to the season. So join me for all of that to come. Thank you very much, of course, to Andreas for giving us the time, putting the time in to make those videos for us, as he does when he's not here. Brilliant stats, as always. Great to hear Andreas's contributions on the show. So thank you very much to him, as always. I hope you'll enjoy the cup final tomorrow. And, of course, we'll see you next week. Thank you to all you guys for watching. Brilliant to have you back with us again. Thank you for all the comments as well, as always. And enjoy. Well, the weekend starts now, always officially. We always say that way. The weekend starts when this show's finished. So the weekend is about to start now. The weather's going to be nice this weekend. So let's make the most of it, eh? Because it doesn't last very long usually, does it? So get out and about this weekend. Do whatever you're doing. I'm playing football in the morning. And I'm doing a race, a 10K race on Sunday morning. So I'll be getting out, getting some fresh air, getting some sun on my bones and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be good. And of course, Sunday, we'll be here for the gamers. But what a weekend, eh? What more could you want in life? Loads of sunshine, loads of exercise, and of course, some great football as well. It's just a shame the women aren't playing. It would have been better, wouldn't it? And of course, the Women's Cup final as well. So don't forget to watch that. I'll see you Sunday. Thank you very much, as always, for watching. Thanks to Andreas for his video contributions. Thanks to you guys as well. Don't forget to give us a like before you leave. If you are new here, please consider subscribing. Let's get to 50,000. Shall we, like Terry said? Shall we just get there by next week? Shall we? We'll get to 50,000 subscribers by next week. That'd be good. But no, please like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. I will see you Sunday. This has been the Arsenal Women's Show, the Stina Blackstenier Show, as it usually is. And she came up the bit of goods again last weekend, didn't she, against Man City, as she's done so often this season. Don't forget, there's the Player of the Season vote on the Arsenal website. Stina is one of the players you can vote for. don't let me influence your decision, but she should get your vote because she deserves it. They all deserve it, but she does even more so. So get on the Arsenal website, vote for Stina, get her to win Player of the Year. That'll be great. Lotta is also nominated for the WSL Player of the Year, so vote for her for that. Don't vote for her for the Arsenal one. Get Stina for that one and let Lotta win the actual main one because she's been nominated. So that's the best way to do it, isn't it? So, but don't let me influence her. You make your own decisions, but definitely vote for Stina. Terry says, well done, Richard, tonight. Another great show. And well done, Greg, and all the chat. Indeed, yeah, thank you guys, as always. As well, see you Sunday. Enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be good. I'm sure it will. Thank you for watching, guys. Like, share, and subscribe. Come on, you Gunners. I will see you Sunday. Let's get it done.